Maybe not so beautiful.
It's neighbor.
But we're lying.
Okay, colleagues, welcome to another week. It's Monday, May 13th, 2013. This is the House Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development. And we have some bills to hear, thanks to the generosity of our Senate colleagues. And we will start off with an issue dear to the heart of one of our favorite senators. And with that, I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 802A. And I will call up Senator Lori Bonas Anderson. For the record, that was the royal we, our favorite, one of our favorite senators.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Bonas Anderson, and I bring before you Senate Bill 802, and it actually came from the idea came from the Oregon Community College Association. And this is actually going to save money for our community colleges that have dental hygienist programs. The problem is that currently statute requires that all colleges who operate a dental educational clinic name an actively licensed dental director. And it is very difficult to find a dentist who would actually want to be an active licensed dental director of these programs. There are many volunteers and as well as some that are paid that participate in it. It really just doesn't make sense to have a full-time dentist. And the programs have already passed accreditation from the Commission on Dental Accreditation of American Dental Association. And there are dentists who actually supervise the hygiene and dental assisting students, and they actually also provide dental services in the clinics in these programs. However, to name a director, there's just a resource allocation problem that they have. And many licensed dentists, they're willing to assist, they're willing to volunteer, but they really aren't willing to take the liability of being named the dental director of the dental program. Many of them have practices outside of the educational setting, and the college really doesn't have the resources, really don't have the resources, to make it a full-time salaried and titled position. So this bill just clarifies that institutions or programs accredited by the Commission on Dental Accreditation of American Dental Association do not need to name an actively licensed dentist as a dental director of their clinics. It really will take an unnecessary burden off of our colleges and universities, and then I urge and I vote. And I do understand that there is an amendment, and I talked with the Dental Association, and makes perfect sense, and I'll let them explain the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Any questions? Representative Greenleaf.
Hi, I thought you were in the wrong room.
I thought you were in the wrong room.
Excuse me. As I understand what you're saying, the current situation doesn't require a full-time dental director, but it requires whoever is a dental director to be a licensed actively.
No, it actually says it's supposed to be full-time.
Full-time.
Yeah. So we're wanting to clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much,
thank
Senator,
you.
For
Have
bringing this
day.
To us. And this did well over on the Senate side, I assume.
Yes. Passed with no opposition.
Great. Thank you. Okay, I'll call up Linda Gerber and John Wyckoff and her handler.
How did I manage that, John?
Probably quite well. Chair Dembro, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Wyckoff, Legislative Director for the Oregon Community College Association. I'll just be very brief and then turn it over to my colleague Linda Gerber from PCC. Senator Bonas Anderson described the bill very well. It just clarifies that for our dental programs, that the director of the program does not have to be a full-time licensed dentist. These are hygiene and dental assisting programs. But what it does is clarify and make very clear that when the practice of dentistry is involved and the components of that from diagnosis to prescribing to putting permanent fillings in somebody's mouth when that is necessary, that there will always be a licensed dentist there to do that. that, a dentist of record who, in if, you know, should something go awry, that there would be somebody on record for the dental board to look into that. And so that this clarifies that that would be the case, but especially for smaller colleges where just having a full-time dentist on staff to oversee these hygiene programs is not practical. They bring in, you know, they have a list of part-time dentists that come in and help out for those cases. But it is common practice that it is hygienists that oversee dental hygiene programs and oversee that part of the practice. But when dentistry is involved, there will always be a licensed dentist, and that bill just clarifies that. We're totally comfortable with the Dash 1 amendments brought forward by the Dental Association. And so we're Dash 2, thank you, and are in full support.
Thank you, John. Linda, welcome. Happy PCC Day.
Thank you, Chair Dembrough and members of the committee. My name is Linda Gerber, and I'm the Sylvania Campus President at Portland Community College. I was at Representative Gorsuch's College for many years as the VP of Instruction, and I do appreciate the opportunity to testify today in support of SB 802A. Each year, PCC trains 85 dental professionals, 45 in dental assisting and 40 in dental hygiene. And from our point of view, SB 802A clarifies that accredited colleges and university dental education programs are not required to name a licensed dental director to oversee their dental education clinics. This proposed change impacts community colleges with dental hygiene and dental assistant programs and private and public Oregon universities and colleges as well. Not all of these colleges operate clinics that serve the public, but their students do study techniques in clinical education settings. These programs were notified in a letter by the Oregon Board of Dentistry Executive Director Patrick Bratz in May of 2011 that the statute required the naming of an actively licensed dental director. In August of 2011, the 10 community college presidents with impacted programs sent a response to Mr. Bratz, and I have attached a copy of that letter for your information. The bill does not change the requirement to have a licensed Oregon dentist oversee procedures performed in clinics as the dentist of record. Dentists by law supervise, diagnose, consult, and provide referrals. Dental hygienists do not have the authority to diagnose. In fact, community colleges have many dentists who work in our education clinics, who serve as a dentist of record on the days they are working or volunteering. Many dentists do volunteer with us. And these dentists oversee students who are studying and learning dental hygiene or dental assisting skills. Our accreditation standards set by the Commission on Dental Accreditation of the American Dental Association also require the involvement of dentists in clinical settings, and they address patient safety and standards of care. This bill does not change the stringent accreditation standards our programs must meet in any way. In order to be successful when they complete their training, dental hygiene and assisting students have to understand and abide by the different scopes of practices for dentists, dental hygienists, and dental assistants. We have a responsibility to teach them this, but also to emulate it in clinical education settings. The current statute, or ORS 6790203E, already excludes accredited education programs from the requirement to have a licensed dentist own, operate, conduct, or maintain a dental practice office or clinic. It makes no sense in the case of CODA accredited education programs to have to name a licensed dentist as the dental director of our education clinics when we have many dentists who supervise dental hygiene and dental assisting students and provide dental services in our clinics. For community colleges, this is about allocation of resources. We are able to offer dental hygiene and dental assisting education and clinical opportunities working with a committed group of dentists, some, as I said, who volunteer their time in our clinics. Most of these dentists are not willing to take on the liability of being named the dental director of a clinical program, and we don't have the ability to add a position with this title in our programs because of cost constraints. As actively licensed dentists, the dentists who provide care in our clinics currently are accountable for the students and patients they oversee in a clinic. If a problem arises, they and their licenses are on the hook. This bill does not change that accountability. Community colleges, dental hygiene and dental assisting programs are overseen by program directors and deans as required by CODA, the accrediting body. If a problem arises, these individuals have access to information about a particular dentist who was serving as the dentist of record on a particular day. Any inquiries from the Board of Dentistry could come to the college's dental program director or dean, and they could identify the dentist in question. This is far more appropriate in an education setting than creating a new position of dental director. This bill does not prevent OBD from investigating a complaint through its regular process. We urge your support of SB 802A so we can continue our job of educating skilled dental hygienists and dental assistants. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Any questions? Representative Greenlee.
Thank you. I have the same question I had with Senator Anderson. I understand the issue of a licensed dentist being dental director. I don't see the requirement for it to be a full-time position. Am I missing?
This was an interpretation of the current ORS by the dental by the Oregon Dental Board director Patrick Bratz, and the colleges received letters that indicated to us, in fact, that we were required to have a full-time dental director. We worked with the colleges to respond to Mr. Bratz's statement that this was required. We were unable to get a satisfactory response that interpreted the law to mean that it wasn't required, and so we have come to clarify the law so that this issue can be put to rest.
And if
does the clarification deal with the full-time question or with the currently licensed dentist issue?
If I may add really quickly, I believe that the Board of Dentistry had an opinion from an attorney that sort of started this, had a letter from an attorney saying it had to be a full-time licensed director. And under the new definition, it no longer requires that person to be a licensed dentist. And I'd have to go back and look at statute, and I can get back to you on whether I don't believe it speaks to the full-time nature of it so much
now
as
you need a full-time person, whether it's a dentist or not a dentist, but you still need a full-time director?
I believe the Accreditation Association has required that a full-time director be in charge of dental programs.
Couldn't be in charge of two different programs, say?
Well, dental assisting and dental hygiene, so we have two programs under one director, yes. They're very closely related. Mm-hmm.
It does tend, I think, to be part of the accreditation process. They're very narrowly focused on those career programs that they need to have. There needs to be that level of commitment, of having sort of specific management, as I...
So if you only had a dental assistance program, you need a full-time director, or if you only had a dental hygiene program, you need a full-time director, but if you had both of them, you can have... two half-time directors, right?
I believe that's true.
I'm not sure what that requirement is. I'm sorry.
Or you could have one person who's overseeing both.
Right. I know that you can have one person, one director overseeing the dental hygiene and the dental assisting program because that's what Portland Community College has. And we've very recently had our accreditation renewed.
Actually, why don't I see Mr. Bratz is in the room. Do you want to come forward?
Oh, good. Here's Patrick hiding back there.
I apologize. I just had a cataract surgery in my right eye, so I'm not seeing. I'm double corrected. So I do know that's Representative Greenlee. For the record, my name is Patrick Bratz, Executive Director of the Board. The Board's interpretation is it's not a full-time. It needs to be a person or persons. There's no stipulation, there's no legal opinion that's ever said full-time director. It needs to be a person or persons that are named as a dental director under the current law. not under the proposal. Under the proposal, that dental director position goes away. And, you know, we've been supportive of this change, per se. But, no, there was never a requirement that there be a person hired and that that person be full-time. It's simply that a person or persons be named as a dental director.
Okay.
Okay.
Representative Woodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This must be a good bill. My name's on it. we've been talking about community colleges. Redmond High School is going to offer dental, I think, hygiene and assistant programs. So, you know, and is there, how does this apply to them, and how does it apply to, is there any contract or private facilities using, providing this training? How do they, how does it fit in for them?
Chair Dembro and Representative Wisnett, it would depend on their accreditation standard. There are some programs that are not accredited right now, and as you notice in this law, it talks about programs that are CODA accredited. So if that program became CODA accredited, the law would impact them as the same, as well as the current law, as well as the proposed law. If they were not accredited, it's a whole different issue.
So, because I think they don't have it yet. They've got the facilities, and they're going to get two chairs. But I think they also will have a dentist on there, and will be doing working with them for the assistant program and everything. So that they could file it, come under the same thing.
Again, Chair Brembo, Representative Wisnett, they could do that. Yes, they could seek accreditation, or they could work unaccredited. As I said, there are some no dental hygiene programs in the state that aren't accredited, but there are not accredited dental assistant programs in the state. And they fall under different auspices.
I knew it was a good bill.
Great. Since you're here, Mr. Bratz, the one of the things that the bill does is it requires that a list of the dentists who will be doing these services are forwarded to the Board of Dentistry. In the initial version, it said, in the case of an investigation, that's, as I understand it, with the amendment, just in general, that list will be sent. Do you see that as a good thing?
Chair Brembo, yes. Actually, we suggested that, and I was just talking with the representative from the ODA. This past week, for example, we received two complaints. On the surface, I looked at the complaints, and I said, I'm not sure these are complaints. So before we open a full investigation, I actually picked up the phone and called the licensees in general and actually found out they tend to be more of a billing dispute, and I'm not saying that would be an issue for the community colleges, but we don't always open a full-blown investigation, and so by having that statutory language in that would say that, that would almost prohibit us from just picking up the phone and calling. By taking that language out would then allow us, if we had some issue that we just had to pick up the phone and talk to someone, which may turn out not to be a complaint, we could then dispose of the matter, and we'd rather do that than have to deal with complaints. So we consider it to be an improvement.
And just the fact of your having possession of the list of who the dentists are that are working with each program, that's a good thing as well, right?
Chair Dembo, yes, that's absolutely a good thing. Because right now, when I get a complaint about a licensee, I just go to the database. I know who that licensee is. I have a phone number. I have an email. I can contact them. We don't have that information right now. So this would actually enhance it. And the schools can provide us changes as they do. We just would keep it in a database.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions of these witnesses? Okay. Thank you very much, all of you. George, do you want to say anything about the further about the amendment? When I heard there was an amendment, I thought it might have to do with fluoride, and I got very nervous. But this seems to be a very modest and appropriate amendment.
Nothing so minus as fluoride.
Oh yeah. All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Senate Bill 802. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 802. Vice Chair Huffman.
Chair Dembro, I move to adopt the -2 amendments dated May 9th, 2013.
Vice Chair Huffman moves the -2 amendments dated May 9th, 2013. Any discussion? Any opposition? Okay, so ordered. They are adopted. Vice Chair Huffman.
Chair Dembro, I move Senate Bill 802 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Huffman moves Senate Bill 802 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Is there any objection to this motion? Seeing none, Senate Bill 802 is adopted. Well, Representative Wisnant, this sounds like it's got your name all over it.
I'd be glad to.
Great.
Victoria and I'll handle it well.
I think I may be on it as well.
You are.
Okay, with that, I'm going to close this work session on Senate Bill 802A. Next up, we have Senate Bill 267. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 267. Victoria, could you tell us what this is?
I'd be happy to. Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 267 changes the title of President of the State Board of Higher Education to Chairperson of the Board.
Okay. So this is currently the person holding that position is known as the President of the State Board of Higher Ed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that presumably is a challenge at board meetings because someone addresses Mr. President and half the room raises their hand. So presumably we need to change that. I have no one signed up. However, I do see Bridget Burns in the room, and how can we resist bringing her forward? Tell us the mighty reasons for this bill.
Chair Dembro, members of the committee, for the record, Bridget Burns, OUS. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this legislation. What this is before you is a recommendation brought from the Governance and Policy Committee of the State Board of Higher Education. And what it is it's brought from recommendations from the Association of Governing Boards. AGB is the national board that develops the national organization that develops best practices for governing boards for higher education institutions. And what they recommend is that the word president should be over the individual who's responsible for governing the entity, and that chair should be about convening and about leading and conducting meetings. And so this is really just putting it in line with national best practices, something that the institutions thought was important and the board members thought would make things a little bit easier. So that's why we brought this before you, and it was something that came out as a result of the work that led up to Senate Bill 242, and it was a recommendation for a next phase in terms of implementation. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Okay, any?
Not me.
I can't believe that.
What a good committee member. Okay, I'm going to therefore close the public hearing on Senate Bill 267. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 267. Vice Chair Huffman.
Chair Dembro, I move Senate Bill 267 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar.
You don't want to debate that one.
Vice Chair Huffman moves Senate Bill 267 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the measure be placed on the consent calendar. And that last part I find very relieving. So thank you, Victoria. Any discussion? Is there any objection to this motion? Okay, motion passes. It will be put on the consent agenda. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 267, and we'll move to a public hearing on Senate Bill 225A. Tell us about this, Victoria, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 225A repeals the Oregon Revised Statute, ORS 30.264, which enables the State Board of Higher Education to purchase liability insurance coverage for students involved in off-campus activities.
Okay. We have testimony from Penny Evans from DAS Risk Management. And Ellen Holland has signed up. She's from OUS Risk Management. Welcome to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping us understand this one. Ms. Evans, do you want to start?
Sure. Good morning. For the record, my name's Penny Evans. I'm with the Department of Administrative Services, Risk Management. And thank you for listening to us today. This came about for the state, gas risk management. This really is a housekeeping measure as a follow-up to Senate Bill 242, which basically separated the university system from the state. And what 3264 previously currently says is that the state will provide liability insurance for students involved in off-campus experiential activities. And this is to really clarify that the state versus Oregon University Systems is no longer responsible for providing that insurance.
So basically, you see this as a cleanup to Senate Bill 242?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And Chairman Dembrow and representatives, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. One thing we did notice in
Ms. Holland, you have to identify yourself for the record.
I'm Ellen Holland, Oregon University System Chief Risk Officer and responsible for the purchase of all the insurance for the system. Thank you very much for being here today. One thing that Penny and I did notice today in the language, on April 18th, we did testify with the Senate, and we asked simply to repeal the bill because it was duplicative of Senate Bill 242 in this particular area. What we noticed today is that it says that it removes the authority of public universities to provide liability insurance coverage for students involved in specified off-campus experiential learning activities, and we think that there may be a better way to phrase that, and that would be either to request a repeal only, or that Senate Bill 242, as written in the April 11th letter by Randy Geller, Meg Reeves, Randy Geller of University of Oregon, Meg Reeves of Oregon State University, and David Reese of Portland State, also approved by myself and Ryan Hageman from the system, that this is essentially duplicative from Senate Bill 242. And as he states in his last, the last paragraph of that letter, that SB 242 provides appropriate coverage. So if the language, the modified language, could be removed, because this would prohibit us from actually then buying insurance for the experiential learning programs such as are being discussed in Senate Bill 2669 as well. So we appreciate your recommendation.
Thank you. So just to clarify, I mean, the bill itself repeals ORS 30.264. Mm-hmm. The issue here is that the summary may be misleading,
right?
Actually. Victoria, how serious a problem is that? I mean, the summary won't have any life after the bill is signed, right?
Are you referring just to the staff measure summary?
No, the summary on the legislation.
No, that's why it says, you know, the summary is just for a statement of the essential features of the measure. It has no value other than guidance.
So the effect of the bill is to repeal.
Repeal.
Yes.
But even this language is bothersome being there. If we could just revise that language a bit to reflect repealing the bill as opposed to removing our authority, I think that would be useful down the road.
I don't really think it's necessary.
Yeah, I'm not, I think that the record will show very clearly, through our discussion today that what the intent of the bill is, and that, you know, the action of it is clearly to remove that section.
Okay.
And therefore, transfer the authority from the state to the individual universities.
Mm-hmm.
OUS.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I think that probably covers us. If we were to amend this, that would kind of slow things down, I think, in an unnecessary way.
Well, and I don't, if I may.
Yes.
What would you amend? The bill is...
It would just be...
3264 is repealed.
That
is what you want, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
That's what this bill is.
Take your expertise for sure.
Yeah, I think you're okay. I do think you're okay. But thanks for pointing that out, because I agree that at first blush, I read that and I scratched my head, and then I looked down and saw what the bill did, and it did something different.
Okay.
All right. Okay, any other questions with the witnesses?
It goes into the statute. It won't have that summary.
No, it won't. No. Okay. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Anybody else? No. Okay. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 225A and open a work session on Senate Bill 225.
Do you want to put this on the consent calendar, or do you think that's going to be confusing? Do you think it's going to confuse anybody else with the summary there?
Go for it.
Because the summary is
yeah, different. Let's not.
Not put it on the consent calendar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Consent.
Then we can do this. We have options.
You are so prepared.
Summary, they screw those up.
Vice Chair Hoffman.
Chair Denbrough, I move Senate Bill 225 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Hoffman moves Senate Bill 225 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, this bill is adopted. I'll carry it. And with that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 225A. Is that it? That's really it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Representative Wisnant.
My office is, again, using our resources to provide the committee a good news. This is an article that was in USA Today on Friday. Record rate of Hispanic students heading to college. I thought the committee might be interested in seeing that.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rep. Wisnant. I thought this was going to be about Redmond High School, but it's great to see. Okay, with that, colleagues, we come back at 8:45 on Wednesday, and the focus of Wednesday's hearing is going to be on financial aid and the opportunity grant. You may remember when we did our Higher Ed 101, we had to shortchange the OSAC down to, I think they had 5 or 10 minutes. This will give us a chance to hear more from them, to ask some of the questions. I know Vice Chair Huffman, has had some longstanding questions about completion rates. Hopefully we'll get some information about that. And then some financial aid professionals will be here to talk to us about next steps for financial aid, some of the challenges, et cetera. Should be quite interesting. Okay, with that, colleagues, we're adjourned.
Yeah.